Father, again, I pray for every person here, and I pray not one of us will leave untouched by your power tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. And everyone that agreed said, amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, welcome. And just remind you about what we're doing here. I had it on my heart. I believe impressed by the Lord. I don't think it was just a David idea. I believe it's a God idea. That to make June a month of revival here at City on a Hill Church. And so here we are. Amen. And, you know, we say, well, where's the guest speaker? Well, we may have one the end of this month. We'll see. But revival is about God showing up. It's not about any particular guest speaker showing up. I was reading about the Azusa Street Revival earlier today, and the eyewitness account by a man named Frank Bartleman. He was really one of the main ones that chronicled what was happening at Azusa Street. And he said the first time he went, there were only about 12 people there. And that's an outpouring of the Spirit that we still talk about today, that went all around the world. And so be encouraged. You know, there's just a handful of us here tonight. When the first meeting he went to at Azusa, there was only about 12 people there. And so be encouraged. Amen? Praise God. So we're not having special days of services, but our services are having a special focus every Sunday and every Wednesday. And I believe each service is going to be special. Each one has been up to now, and I believe tonight will be. So turn on your expector. Turn on your expectation. Expect God to meet with you tonight. Amen? Amen. Expect Him to meet with us collectively, and expect Him to meet with you individually as well. Praise God. And as I said to you also, just kind of building up into what we're going to get into tonight, but several months ago, I wrote down four words on a sticky note. I keep a sticky note pad in my on my desk in my office. And I wrote these four words down: revive, refresh, renew, and restore. Revive, refresh, renew, and restore. Just wrote them down one, you know, in a column, one right under the other. I didn't really know what they were for. I mean, I knew those were scriptural terms. I knew those were good things that God wants to do in our lives. I thought perhaps it was a message series and sometime in the future, but from time to time, I'd look at them and, okay, praise God. But I believe now that these words are for us for this month. It's for now. Amen? And they define what God wants to do in our lives individually and also collectively as a church. Last Wednesday, we talked about, if you remember, repentance and forgiveness. And we said that repentance and forgiveness are the catalyst for revival. And a catalyst is an agent that's introduced into some chemicals that speed up the reaction, that make it possible what otherwise would not be possible. Praise God. And so if we're going to have revival, the catalysts for revival are always repentance and forgiveness. Mark Rutland says it this way too: in order for wholeness in our lives, to have wholeness in our lives. And that's really what revival is. It's making us whole. Amen. For there to be wholeness in our lives, we have to experience God's healing love, both as a recipient and a grantor. In other words, we have to forgive. We have to, number one, we have to repent. We have to ask God to forgive us and know that He does, and experience His forgiveness in our lives. And then we have to extend that forgiveness to those who've sinned against us. Hence, Jesus teaching in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Amen? So we spent some time talking about that. And I want to start in the Scripture tonight. I want to start in Acts 3, verse 19. We looked at that, I think, last week. And I just want to pick up there tonight and go from there and talk about some new things then tonight, and then see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Amen. Acts 3:19, he says, repent therefore and be converted. So again, there's that first catalyst is repentance. Amen. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. He says, repent therefore, or actually this is the after the day of Pentecost. This is after the healing of the lame man at the beautiful gate. And so the lame man was healed. You remember Peter and John go up to the temple at the hour of prayer. There's a man sitting there lame from birth, and he's asking, begging for money. And Peter says, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man was healed, and everybody knew him. It was a notable miracle. Everybody in Jerusalem knew the guy, and they knew that he was healed. And so Peter begins to preach. And here's what he says. He says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that's a real key that I want us to talk about tonight and look at. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about times of refreshing tonight. The Amplified Bible, it says it this way, so repent, change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean. That times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. And so again, we see that he says, repent. He said, change your mind and your purpose. Repent means to you're going this way, and then you turn and you go in the other direction. Well, that's necessary for salvation. That's what an unsaved person needs to do to get saved. They turn from sin, repentance from sin, and faith toward God. Amen. Those are the two things that must happen to get saved. But then repentance is necessary for us as it's not just when you get saved. Repentance is necessary for us as believers. Because how many of you realize you can get going in the wrong direction in areas in your life? Amen. And we need to turn around and go in the other direction. That's what repentance is. Amen. It's not just crying tears. Amen. It's making a decision to turn and go in the other direction. Amen. It's an action involved as well. Turn around. Return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, and wiped clean, and that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. So repentance brings those times of refreshing. So when we repent, we can expect and we should expect times of refreshing. Amen? Don't just repent and say, okay, now I've got to trudge along. When we repent, we should expect God to bring refreshing in our lives. Amen. Praise God. And then he goes on in verse 20, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the, notice this phrase now, the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So, what is revival? You know, we need to define it so we can know what it looks like when we see it. Amen. So we can know what to ask for. And sometimes it's this nebulous thing out here that we can't really, you know, define or quantify or put our hands on. And so it makes it hard to have faith for it or to expect it or to believe it if we don't know what it is. Well, here's another good definition. Revival can be defined in many ways, really. But here's two of the most powerful, I think. Revival is times of refreshing and times of restoration. Revival is times of refreshing and times of restoration. Again, I should have looked it up so I could quote it exactly. I'll do my best here. But Jonathan Edwards, the great revivalist, he was the pastor of the Congregational Church in Northampton, Massachusetts in the 1730s. And began to see an outbreak of the power of God and the Spirit of God and a move of God that became the Great Awakening that shook the entire nation and really prepared the colonists for the American Revolution. That's really, the Great Awakening is really what gave birth to this nation. Amen. Praise God. And Edwards said, from the fall of man until this present hour in which we live, the work of redemption in its effect. Okay, so let's analyze that statement and define it step by step here. The work of redemption in its effect. So redemption was Jesus dying on the cross, right? Being raised from the dead, that's redemption. But redemption, that's not enough that he just did that and that's a historical fact. Redemption needs to affect our lives personally and individually. Amen? And then when it does that to enough people, it can affect an entire nation. So he says redemption in its effect from the fall of man to the present time wherein we live, the work of redemption in its effect has been carried on primarily by marvelous pourings out of a remarkable, he said, remarkable pourings out of the Spirit of God. Amen. In other words, redemption, what Jesus did on the cross, having an effect in our society and in our culture, that has happened because of remarkable, not just one, but remarkable pourings out, plural, of the Spirit of God. In other words, in every generation needs to have a visitation of God. Every generation needs to have an outpouring of the Spirit. Amen? Amen? Praise God. All right. So, revival is times of refreshing and times of restoration. Peter mentions both here in these verses we just read. He says that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And then he says, until the times of restoration of all things. Praise God. So times of refreshing and times of restoration. And again, this applies, can apply and does apply and should apply personally. You and I should individually have times of restoration, or refreshing, excuse me, and also times of restoration. It also applies to the local church. I'm believing that as a local church, we will experience, and this is just the beginning of it, I believe. Amen. This is just the foundation of it, this month of June. But times of refreshing and times of restoration. Amen. Can you agree with me on that? Yes. Will you believe with me for that? Yes. Amen. And also for the body of Christ as a whole. You know, that's something that has just been on my heart and been a part of my prayer life for really, I guess, ever since I got filled with the Holy Spirit. That somehow I got a glimpse of, you know, God wants to send a great move of the Spirit throughout the whole to revive and to restore the entire body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I've seen and read some things in church history. I'm going to talk about a little bit of that tonight as well, that just let me, you know, just stir me up to say, Lord, do it again in our day. Do it again in our day. Amen. Praise God. So I want to point something else out here. If you'd put, again, can we get it on the back screen as well? Can we get that up there? Let's try to do it. If we, yeah. It's on, but we just don't have the button pushed for it. So it should be showing up on this monitor right here. Is it? Yeah, is it showing up there? Okay. Well, let's push the little Aver key box, and we should get it. There we go. Hallelujah. Okay, now I can see it right there, too. I don't have to, I can look back there and see the scripture now. All right, like as you're watching it up here. That's all right. Yeah. No problem. All right. So look at, let's go back to verse 19 again, Grayson. Look at that. He says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from where? Let's everybody say it. The presence of the Lord. Okay, so that's where times of refreshing come from. And we want to make that clear. There's no other place and there's no other way that we can access times of refreshing. These times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. It doesn't come by a program. It doesn't come by advertising. It doesn't come by hype. It comes from the presence of the Lord. And that's why it's important for us to make a room for the presence of the Lord. That's why it's important for us to worship. That's why it's important for us to pray. That's why it's important for us to repent, because all of that is welcoming the presence of the Lord. And that's where the times of refreshing come from, the presence of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Now, Another thing involved with this, and we've talked about, but I want to bring it up again and remind you of it, is the concept of rain being a type of the Holy Spirit. Rain, in fact, if you're making notes, just write that down. Rain is a type of the Holy Spirit. And I told you, I think, last week about, I remember, I guess it was in the year 2000, I think it was, 1999 or 2000. It had to be 2000. It was this time of year, I guess about the middle of June, and I remember it being so hot and so dry, and it hadn't rained for several weeks, and then one day, I remember that day it was 93 degrees because I had at that time one of the cars I was driving had the thermometer on it told the outside temperature, and I remember it being 93 degrees that day. So it was pretty warm today, but I think it was just in the 80s today, right? So 93 is pretty hot, okay? So it was 93 that day, dry, you know, my yard was dry and brittle, everything was just dry and dusty. And that's just kind of oppressive in a way, too, when it gets hot and dry like that. But then, thank God, a storm rolled in, and we had just a downpour, a gully washer, and in like an hour's time, the temperature went from 93 to 69. That's what's that, 34 degrees? 24 degrees in like an hour. And everything, not only that, but everything that was dry and dusty and crusty was now wet and vibrant and revived again. And that's what rain does. That's what this scripture in the Amplified says of recovering from the effects of heat. Recovering from the effects of heat. Praise God. So that's what rain does. And rain immediately alters the surrounding conditions. And that's what revival does. That's what when the Holy Spirit is poured out, it immediately alters the surrounding conditions spiritually. In our lives, in our church, and yes, it can be in our whole nation. Amen? Praise God. That's what America needs. We need revival more than anything. Amen? I appreciate the people that are trying to fight the good fight in the political realm, you know, standing for righteousness in that way and standing for truth. And I appreciate that. And that needs to be done in that realm. But the only thing that's going to turn this around is an outpouring of God. Amen. And that's what we're here for. That's what we're contending. We want revival in our own hearts and our own lives and in our church, but we want it in our nation. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. Let's look at this verse, Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 9. We were talking about, again, times of refreshing. That's what revival is. It's times of refreshing. Psalm 68, verse 9, he says, "You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby you confirmed your inheritance." That's us. We're his inheritance. We're his people. The psalmist says, "God, you sent this plentiful rain, and you confirmed your inheritance when it was weary." Praise God. Sometimes we get weary, don't we? Isn't it wearying to have to stand against and endure the onslaught of evil and the onslaught of deception that seems to be coming against the church and coming against our nation and the pushback and the persecution that seems to be coming against the church? It's wearying to stand against that. But God sends us a plentiful rain to refresh us. Amen? Hallelujah. He sends times of refreshing. Praise God. The New Living Translation says it this way: "You sent a plentiful rain to refresh the weary land." To refresh the weary land. We're that weary land, and that rain refreshes us. Amen? Praise God. Let's go to the book of Hosea. We've looked at this before, but I want to look at it again tonight. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2, it says here, "After 2 days, the prophet Hosea is prophesying about what God's plan is for the nation of Israel." And he's talking about what he's going to do for Israel, but it also applies to the church. It also applies in our situation, in our lives. It says after 2 days, He will what? Revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up that we may live in His sight. The prophetic implication of that is this, that after 2 days, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. After 2 days, the previous verses talk about the Lord coming into Israel and then returning to His place. That's prophetic of the ministry of Jesus. And when Jesus returned back to heaven, He said, I'm going to be back. I'm coming back. And the prophet Hosea says, after 2 days, He's going to revive us. Praise God. And we know that at the end of the age here, that there's going to be a revival among the Jewish people. They're going to accept their Messiah. God's going to pour out His Spirit on them. Amen. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up that we may live in His sight. And then verse 3, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know, you can look up on, you can go to the Weather Channel app on your phone or where, however you get your weather. And you can know not only for tomorrow, but for the rest of this month and however far you want to search it out, you can know exactly what time the sun's going to come up. Right? Amen. There's any number of resources you can look at. But you can find out exactly what time the sun's going to rise. That's what He's talking about. His going forth is established as the morning. Amen. So it's not a mystery what God wants to do and what God can do. He's revealed it to us in His Word. He's revealed the pattern in His Word that if we'll seek Him, that if we'll put His principles into operation, He'll show up. I'm fishing for an amen here. He'll show up. Amen. He will. Amen. His going forth is established as the morning. Amen. He's going to come. When we do what His Word says to do, He will do what He said in His Word He would do. Amen? He'll do His part when we do our part. Amen. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us how? He'll come to us how? Like the rain. Like the rain. Amen. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. So God, He's going to revive us, it says, and He's going to come to us like the rain. Praise God. God coming to us in revival, He says He's going to do it like rain. And you think about it, you know, again, rain or water is a type of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus told the woman at the well in Samaria, He said, the water that I give you shall be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That typified the new birth. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit in us in the new birth. We've got access to that water on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. But then Jesus said this at the Feast of Tabernacles. It's recorded in John chapter 7. Jesus said, He who believes in Me, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. And this He spoke concerning the Spirit. And so you see the difference between a well that's for your personal benefit. A river is another dimension of water, right? For another purpose, another effect. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So that's the Holy Spirit coming upon us, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, giving us power to minister to others and to be a witness. But then think about this. There's another aspect of water, and that's rain falling. That's totally different too. The rain is different from a well and from a river. You know, and again, I know this time of year we can get pop-up, you know, little pop-up thunderstorms where it may be raining in this, you know, 1 mile radius here and then it's not raining over here. But you know, most of the time when rain comes through, I mean, it's covering a huge area. Sometimes you can look at a weather map, a map of the U.S., and you can see that front stretching, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of miles long. Usually it's northeast to southwest is usually the way those fronts run if you're looking at the weather map. And then they may be, you know, hundreds of miles wide. of just a wide swath of, well, that's a lot of water. And that's affecting a lot of people. And you know what Jesus said? He said, our Heavenly Father sends His rain. On who? On the just and on the unjust. Praise God. So when we're asking Him for rain, we're wanting it not only to refresh us, but we're wanting that rain to fall on the unjust as well. Amen. They don't know to ask for it, but we do. Amen. And that brings me to James chapter 5. In James 5, verse 7, he says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. What's he talking about here? Again, he's talking about the harvest. He's talking about the harvest of souls. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. We're looking for that, right? Amen. We're looking for Jesus to come. We're supposed to be. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Titus that we're looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, another thing that happened in my life, I know when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, I never really thought about the coming of the Lord much before that. But after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, wow, Jesus is coming back. That became a reality to me. I began to look for the coming of the Lord. And I've been looking for Him. I've been anticipating that since that day. Well, you hadn't come. That's been a long time ago. Well, we're 40 years closer to it. 42 years closer to it than when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you that. We're getting closer and closer. Amen. Hallelujah. And He's coming. Amen. But He says, be patient until the coming of the Lord. And see how the farmer, that's the Lord, that's God the Father, He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. That's a harvest of souls. Amen. Amen. In God's eyes, every soul is precious. Every life is precious. He wants every person. Jesus died for all mankind throughout all the ages, throughout all the generations. And God yearns. God loves each one of us. And God yearns for each one of us to be saved and to come into His family, to be able to spend eternity in heaven. That's His heart. That's His desire. He's waiting for what He calls the precious fruit of the earth. And it says He's waiting patiently for it. What's He waiting for? Until it. It what? That harvest. That field receives the early and the latter rain. Amen. Praise God. So God's efficient. See, the same rain that refreshes and revives us is the same rain that prepares the hearts of the unsaved to get saved. Prepares that, gets that heart, gets that the seed that's been planted, causes it to grow to fruition for it to be harvested. Amen. Amen. That was the purpose of the rain. The early rain was to prepare the ground to receive the seed. The early rain came in the late fall, and then they would cultivate the ground after that, and then they would plant their seed, and then in the late winter, early spring, and then in the late spring, early summer, then they would have the latter rain. And the latter rain would fall on that crop that had already been planted and that was already growing, and it was that rain that nourished and gave that crop what it needed to grow to maturity so it could be harvested. Amen. So that's why we need, and in the book, in fact, we're going to go to the book of Joel and look at that as well. But that's why we need both rains. Amen. Amen. And the same rain that refreshes us as His people and revives us, because that needs to happen. Amen. Is also the same rain that prepares the unsaved to be harvested. Praise God. So what do we do? Well, we do what it says in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. He says, ask the Lord for rain. Ask Him for rain. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. Amen. Well, it's here. Amen. It's time for the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain grass in the field for everyone. Everyone that'll ask. Amen? And again, we're not just asking for ourselves, but we're saying, Lord, send your rain on the just and on the unjust. Amen? And we're going to do that tonight. We're going to ask that way. So we're to ask for rain. We're asking for revival. We're asking for refreshing. And it's not just a time of refreshing, but it's times. Notice it's plural. There in Acts 3, he said that times of refreshing. We need continual times of refreshing on the church. Amen? On us. We need continual fillings of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's one initial baptism in the Holy Spirit, one initial filling, but there's many refillings. There should be many subsequent refillings. You know, Paul wrote in Ephesians, he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And literally in the Greek, that word is in the present continuous tense. It literally what he said was be continually in the process of being filled with the Spirit. Be continually in the process of being filled with the Spirit. Amen. That's what we should be. Amen. But too much of the time, that's why we see, you know, groups and denominations that were once on fire for God and at the forefront of revival dying out, you know, dead and dying. And I was reading in one of my books I have on revival about Oberlin College. And Oberlin College in Ohio, at one time, when it was founded in the 1830s, and in 1833 or 34, and in 1835, Charles Finney, the great revivalist, you've heard of Finney, Charles Finney was invited by the founder and president of Oberlin College to come and to be the pastor of the church there and to teach in the school. And of course, it was founded in the fires of revival. And sadly, today, Oberlin College is one of the most far left liberal institutions in America. And in fact, it was mentioned by Tucker Carlson the other night. It says the 23-year-old graduates of Oberlin College who now have jobs as Facebook fact checkers think they know more than you know. Virologists who have years of experience, you know. So anyway, but it's a very far left, you know, they've taken any semblance of God away years ago, which is sad. But, you know, I thought about this as I read that too. I thought about Elisha. And after Elisha died, they buried him, and then probably a great while after that, there was a battle going on, and a soldier died, and they didn't have time to bury him because the battle was still going on. So they threw him in. They didn't know they were throwing him on the grave of where Elijah was buried. And when the soldier that had been killed, when his body touched the bones of Elisha. Yeah, we don't know where Elijah didn't leave bones. He was translated. Amen. But Elisha, when the soldier's dead body touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and was raised up. So let's believe, I want to believe God that there's still the bones of revival and the bones of the Spirit of God at Oberlin College. Amen. I've been up. Of course, I had a son that went to Yale University, and Yale was of course established in the fires of revival as well. It was established as a school to train ministers, and in 1801 they had a great revival there. Things had already kind of faded down. In 1801 there was only about 10% of the student body that even were professing Christians. And Timothy Dwight, who was, I believe, the grandson of Jonathan Edwards, became the president of Yale at that time and began holding lectures in I forget the name of the hall there, but that building, I've been to that building, I've seen that building, still there, and I've prayed on that campus many times for God to renew that work, you know, that he established there. And they had a great revival then that was really the foundation of the second Great Awakening. Again, 10% of the student body was Christian, by the end of that revival, 90% were Christian, and many missionaries went out around the world from that. Praise God. So I'm believing that God's not through, that God's going to do a great work in these places yet again. Amen. I know it may seem impossible. I know it may seem like it's a valley of dry bones, but God can breathe on them. Amen. And renew them and restore them. Praise God. Amen. All right. So how'd we get off onto all that? All right. We see times of refreshing throughout church history. The Azusa Street Revival that we mentioned, that was a marvelous time of refreshing. And it was also a time of restoration. There's times of refreshing, and then there's times of restoration. And much that had been lost to the church was restored in the Azusa Street Revival. We know that the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, even though God always had a remnant, by and large, that was lost to the church world. But it was restored at Azusa Street, just a little over 100 years ago here. And in the early 1900s, that was restored. The operation of the gifts of the Spirit, the ministry of healing, the ministry of casting out demons, all that was restored. That had been pretty much lost in the church. It was restored at Azusa Street. And then there was another great working of God, the healing revival that came in the late 40s into the 50s. And I told you about a few Sundays ago when we were talking about the power of speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, about how Dad Hagen in the 1940s, he decided one day, early 1940s, he said, I'm going to, he saw that praying in tongues was important and good thing to do. And he said, he saw the scripture where Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with understanding also. And he said, as an act of my will, I'm going to pray in tongues here for an hour. And so he did. He said he trudged through it. It was so hard. He thought he'd been, he prayed and prayed and prayed and thought he'd been praying an hour, looked at his watch, it'd been 10 or 15 minutes. And so he could finally made it through that hour, sensed no anointing, no goosebumps, no special anything. And the devil then, these thoughts came. He knew it was the devil. Well, you've wasted an hour. Look at you. You could have been working on your Sunday sermon. You could have been out visiting some of your church. You've wasted an hour. And he recognized where that was coming from. He said, oh, I see. All right, Mr. Devil, I must really be onto something here. Just for that, I'm going to double it. I'm going to pray 2 hours now in tongues. And so he did. He continued on, prayed for 2 more hours. So now he's prayed 3 hours in tongues. He gets through that 2 more hours, prays 3 hours. He said, most Christians never do that. We never drill down enough to hit a gusher. But he said he prayed that, and then the devil comes back to him. Now you've wasted 3 hours. Okay, just for that, I'm going to double it. Now I'm going to pray 4. So he starts off again. He doesn't make it through the next 4 hours, though, because he said, I hit a gusher. And he said, what I mean by that is, he said, this great anointing came on me, and tongues just began to roll out of me like a torrent. And he said, and I got through praying that out, and then these words came, and I found myself speaking these words out. At the close of World War Number 2, there'll come a revival of divine healing to America. And he said, I wrote that down, put it in my Bible. 18 months later, he said, I was preaching at a Christ Ambassador rally. That's the youth organization, the Assemblies of God that he was involved with at that time. And he's preaching away, and he happens to find that piece of paper in his Bible. He said, let me tell you what the Lord said to me some time back. And he read that. He said, as the moment I read that, at the close of World War II, there'll come a revival of divine healing to America. That was about 1944, or late 44, early 45 when he reads this. So we're still in the war at that time. At the close of World War II, there'll come a revival of divine healing to America. He read it to the crowd. He said, when I said that, read that, he said, the power of God fell. Everybody hit the floor. Everybody began to pray. People rushed to the altars and began to pray. And he said, a spirit of prayer just fell on us all. And he said, but that revival came. In 1947, it came. And he said, it was the easiest thing in the world to get people healed. He said, people that had never, evangelists, and he said, really, I call them exhorters. He said, people that never really had a healing ministry at all or ever prayed for the sick. He said, all of a sudden, we're having outstanding miracles. That birthed the ministry of Oral Roberts. It birthed the ministry of Jack Coe and many others, A.A. Allen. just an incredible wave of healing swept across our nation. And it was birthed through prayer. It was an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And then after that, we had what was known as the Charismatic Renewal. And that began with a group called the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship that Jeff is our local chapter president of now, but a man named Demas Shakarian. Demas was an immigrant from Armenia. In the late 1800s, there had been a visitation of the Holy Spirit among the Armenian people. A group of Russians had come over the mountains from Russia into Armenia and shared with them about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. See, God always had a remnant, and those Armenian people got filled with the Holy Ghost. And one of them was a young boy who began to have visions. And he was illiterate. He couldn't read or write, but he had this vision. And he said, "Bring me some paper. Bring me something to write with." And he wrote down the symbols that he was seeing. Even though he was illiterate, he wrote them down. And the people that could read were astonished after he wrote it down. It was a prophecy about an impending tragedy that was going to take place. That there was going to be a great persecution of the Armenian Christians. And many of them believed that word. And the prophecy was very specific. It said there's going to come a time where you're going to need to leave this country, leave your homeland. And he wrote out a map. This is a illiterate Armenian boy, didn't know geography. He drew a map, and the map that he drew, what he saw in this vision, was a map of the United States of America. You're going to need to come to this land. And he said, you're going to need to go specifically to this place. And the place he showed them on the map was the west coast of the United States. And so the Armenian people settled in Los Angeles. And some of them had already come there. Demas's parents had already gotten there. And they were walking by 312 Azusa Street one day. And became part of the Azusa. They said, "Oh, we know about this already. We know what's happening here." And then Demas. I don't know. I think he was born here in America. I don't think he was born yet when they were still in Armenia. But Demas grew up knowing God, walking with God, being filled with the Spirit. God began to deal with him to reach out to businessmen. He saw the church services filled with women and thank God for the women. But he said, Where are the business? Oh, they're out at work, they're out busy. Well, somebody needs to reach them. And so God gave him a vision to reach the businessmen. And out of all of that, I want to recommend to you to read the book, The Happiest People on Earth. It is incredible, remarkable. We distributed copies of it here a few years ago, if you remember. But it's been five or six years ago, I guess, that we did that, or seven now. But I got a hold of it about 7 years ago again, and it just set me on fire. He began to reach out to the businessmen, and God used that organization, Full Gospel Businessmen, as one of the tools to ignite what we know as the Charismatic Revival, where businessmen from all denominations, all groups, and even businessmen that didn't have any church background began to fill banquet halls and hotel ballrooms. And Dad Hagen was a part of that. He was one of the speakers they would invite in. And there were thousands and thousands and thousands of businessmen and their wives and their families that got saved and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And became exposed to the power of God and healing and miracles. Praise God. And that's where I came. I wasn't a part of Full Gospel Businessmen in those days, but that was a main part of the Charismatic Renewal, where this Baptist kid started hearing about the Holy Spirit and got filled with the Spirit. So we've seen great outpourings of God's Spirit, even in, you know, our recent history, what I would call our recent history. But I say, Lord, do it again in our day. Amen. Do it again in our day. Amen? All right. Praise God. Let's go to Joel and we'll wrap it up here. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12, he says, "Now therefore," and read, come on back up if you would, and play again. Now therefore, Joel 2 verse 12, now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with what? All your heart. That's our part. Turning to God with all our heart. Not half of it, not two-thirds of it, all of it. Praise God. In fact, just raise your hands and just close your eyes and raise your hands and just say this. Say, Lord, you have all my heart. Not half of it. Not three-quarters of it. But all of it. Lord, you have all my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. That's repentance. Surrender your heart and not your garments. You know, in the Old Testament, you'd think people would tear their clothes. Something bad would happen. And they'd tear their clothes. I don't know how they could afford to do that. Yeah. I'd get ready to do that. I'd say, but Lord, I really like this shirt. And it was kind of expensive. Rend your heart and not your garments. That's what God's looking for. Amen. He was looking for not just an outward show, but an inward. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful. Thank God He is. Slow to anger and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. And so again, we see repentance is the catalyst. Repentance precedes revival. And then when they do that, verse 23 of Joel 2 says, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you what? The former rain faithfully. And He will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month, I believe the King James says in the same month. What's the significance of that? Well, that's a lot of rain at one time. God says, I'm going to bring both rains in the same month. Amen. I'm going to bring it all in the same month. That's going to be a deluge of His Spirit. Amen. Praise God. And then verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. So revival is times of refreshing from the rain, but then it also produces restoration. I'll restore to you, glory to God, the years that the locust has eaten. God wants to do that in our lives. He wants to restore the years that Satan has stolen from us. Amen. Praise God in our health, in our finances, in our families, in our service to God. Some people have said, oh, I could have done more for God. I wasn't serving God at this period in my life. God says, I'll restore that. I'll restore those years that were lost. Amen. I'll restore those years. Hallelujah. Amen. And then verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Again, that's not just Old Testament. That's what God wants to do today. That's what He wants to do today. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read this one more. Would you stand up with me? This won't be on the screen. But I want to go back to the book of Acts. Because when on the day of Pentecost, when Peter and the other apostles came out of the upper room, they came out to the streets of Jerusalem, and the Jews were gathered there from all around. Not only from Judea and the area that they occupy, the land of Israel, but also from other lands. They'd come back to celebrate the feast. The Jews that had moved away, they came home, they came back. They had to come back, for that was the one they came back for. And they were gathered, he said, from everywhere, from all the nations under heaven, they were gathered in Jerusalem. And they heard them speaking in tongues. And Peter stood up in the midst of them. And he said, these are not drunk as you suppose. They thought they were drunk. Praise God. They were so full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They were acting like drunk men. These are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. We just read it. But Peter said, this is for our day. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And he goes on talking about it. And I believe the Amplified there, it says, this is the beginning. Could you find Acts 2:16 in the Amplified and throw that up there for us, Grayson? Look at that. Look what it says. But instead, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of what was spoken by the prophet Joel. My point is this. The outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost was the beginning of what was spoken by the prophet Joel. That's the one bookend. The other bookend is the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. And all through the generations, all through history, there were to be and should be outpourings of the Spirit. God pouring out His Spirit in every generation. This is the beginning. Hallelujah. We're somewhere toward the end right now, but it's time for an outpouring of the great outpouring of the Spirit in our generation. In our generation. Can we just ask Him for that right now? Can we just ask Him for the rain right now? Can you just... Let's just pray in the Spirit for just a moment. Erababa doshi dede vakadaya dede vekole le bodo dore dega dele bod berende. Ababa la vidia da dala bodo corunda da badla mandaya da dada yada daka baronda. Amamela badadoria shenande dele vegele mambere bada cotombere menda le brada dani. Abaviria da dala poria da nagi gele vebere menda le brada goza. Ababella vida le baba perada bozia da dala bodo catalio do david galadi. Iraba boye da de vekele la bodo di barda barda sotto didia da daka. Pala valadoriemba, alaborianda, alaborianda, alaborianda. Tude de micicario, tude micicicario. Ibalava, subarecia, mana negria. Bronde vedicicia da cacalieva, varagasta, boroshege, melavitra. Melavitra sombre vingre manda doristada. Icla bordi dedia da daca bal vetesia da de bordi veredibria papalola. Varia babonie bica la monto nimbando vindala paresto mendalie. Vesi sola varadigria papadoce cetilia da daca parveda. Apa bala vida de bebe peracelia da de barbaradi. Ama va sombre vigne de limangro bastande le vedi con ombre della vigria boste va delle men padeda. Apa va la vida de di peria da daba balaveggio de di vigale manda di vare sacoria di scadala da da momma sala vida nei. E papalola vadanari, e papalola vera dia tanganda la mana ramba muci candala vadla la bonde de riangadela. Vida de diaria da cadal gedidi e dele fedesi delle vida le mende de bori, e de deli ad adaba, e la de di porio da daca da durio da dangale bonda di vendale bonda di sanuga de di bad pelinda. Ine mamma noie ad adaba para vesti sileburio da dange bella vedle le monie da veste supana. And so this is a demonstration. A demonstration unto you, for you to enter in, for you to enter in daily into the flow of the Spirit, into the presence of the Lord, and experience that refreshing, experience that renewing on a daily basis. I've given you the means, I've given you the ability, I've given you the gift, whereby you can walk in refreshing every day. Every day, and that is to pray in the Spirit and allow that life-giving flow, those rivers of living water to flow out of you, to come up out of you and give utterance to it and speak it forth. And so this is a demonstration, for it is said in my word that my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So this is a demonstration of the Spirit for you to know and see that you can enter in to this flow and you can access this mighty flow of the presence of God in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.